This is Serendipity.
Yeah, you're listening to Serendipity.
Think anyone will find this?
Somebody's gonna find it.
It's where robots fall in love.
I want to peel you like a carrot.
And flamingos can sound like Tom Waits.
Hey, girly, do you know what the collective noun is for a group of flamingos?
Join me, Anne Hepperman.
And me, Martin Johnson.
For Serendipity, where we play the best audio fiction from around the world. Because this revolution will not be televised. Find Serendipity wherever you get your podcasts.
From KCRW, this is Here Be Monsters.
Are you afraid that when you get treated that you'll lose something?
I don't really have a choice. If I were to continue to let it grow and kill me, that would be insane.
Do you think it's fueled your craft as a songwriter?
Yeah, that's the one thing that's good about it. It's kind of like if you were sitting in a fire and you could just wield it and do something with it, it would keep you from dying. That's what I do. Because if I don't wield it and create things, then it consumes me.
Ready? 1, 2, 3, 4!
Here Be Monsters, the podcast about...
Is that my brain?
The podcast about...
The unknown.
Doogie bop, 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 doogie bop.
This is my friend, Doog, Sir Deja Doog.
Sir Deja Doog is a shape-shifting, magical being I created to cope with and understand a continuous, strange, and terrifying visionary experience.
Doog is a man of extremes. He's the kind of guy who will adopt a new persona. He commits to new ideas and lifestyles 100% until he decides the show's over.
So I was hitchhiking up and down the West Coast, just trying to explore and survive.
In his 20s, he started hearing voices and seeing things that weren't there.
I was having all of these horrific hallucinations and visions, you know, delusions where I would literally blame myself for history, delusions of guilt, like literally thinking that I had killed people with my mind. It was absolutely bonkers, the stuff that I was thinking.
He told doctors about his hallucinations, and eventually he was treated for a number of conditions: depression, schizophrenia, bipolar disorder. Doog spent the better part of 2012 homeless, hitchhiking, in and out of treatment.
So I was going through that. I was also having this numbness in my limbs. So I'm in this very dark place, and I'm writing these songs accordingly. People were like, you need to go to the hospital and get your brain checked because there's something neurological going on with you. And I don't want to because I'm afraid of losing my own autonomy to make my own decisions, you know?
During that time, he recorded songs on a broken iPhone, and he called these recordings Bad Dharma.
I was suicidal. I didn't have the nerve to kill myself, and I thought, I'll just go sleep under a bridge and hope that I get fucked up and killed, you know? Or I'll just hop in this car with a stranger and see where I go, and who cares what happens? It'll be more interesting than, you know, maybe I can tolerate it. Because I really thought, like, I don't want to live.
Muhammad's prayer was, Lord, show me things as they truly are. But I said that prayer probably a couple thousand times for 2 days. Lord, show me things as they truly are. 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 Things they show me. And then I woke up at like 4 a.m. and I had this weird feeling, this like electric feeling all around me. And I lay back down and immediately I'm in a completely different place. And I see that I had like, my primary motivation was that I was a hero, and it was all in yellow, but I was like a hero who was fighting hypocrisy with music. And I feel like I'm going over a bridge and there's like billions of people underneath me. And I'm flying up in the air and then boom, I'm in this room and I'm naked and there are these aliens. Ancient. They're so old, I can see through their skin. And one of them walks up and it pokes me on the side of the head, and my entire life flashes before my eyes.
So they implanted, like you felt the tumor in your head when you woke up.
Well, I wouldn't go that far. I definitely felt a pain behind my ear, and I felt pain in all of my joints. But where they poked me is actually where the tumor is.
In 2013, Duke had his brain scanned. Doctors found a growth. It was a type of brain tumor called glioma, stage 2 cancer.
I laughed out loud when I saw the MRI that I had a little calcified tumor at the same spot where I had had that vision that I got poked in the head by that alien. It's in the location in my left hemisphere that controls the perception of sensation. So if there's a massive growth in my brain, lots of neurons bonding spontaneously or whatever happens there, it's in the place where I perceive sensation. So that would be seeing things, hearing things, things touching me. Also, it's pressing up against the spot that controls out-of-body experiences and deja vu.
Duke's doctors told him he had to get a surgery to prevent the tumor from growing.
And they're like, if you don't do this, you're going to die. Soon. I didn't get the surgery. Well, the first thing I thought is, I have to make my masterpiece. Because I knew that it would be impossible or difficult for me to make the record after the surgery. So I took that on instead with as much vigor as I could summon, which was a lot of fucking vigor. I found a way to get out of there. I told them I was going to go to another surgeon. And they were like, okay, I believe you. I remember getting out of there and I come home and then I get together the gear that I need to record this demo. And it just sounds like a dirge.
A black bed of coal, the tomb of my ancestors, the fuel of my soul.
And it's, I think it's a really beautiful recording, and I created that, and a lot of my like sorrow and grief came out then. But I really started kicking ass and getting my life together after that. I felt a new like power because I had this threat of, you know, an early death. So it was kind of exciting.
Doug worked obsessively. He worked through horrible headaches and experienced debilitating seizures. They started getting worse and worse and started happening more frequently.
Yeah, the seizures were terrifying. You know, there are some of those parts where I was playing guitar and I was having a partial seizure, and if it was good enough, it stayed on the record. While I'm playing the guitar part on Medusa's Garden, I was having a seizure. And it's kind of sloppy for that reason. I started to lose the function on my right hand.
At the temple of Athena, where Medusa would tend the fire, a thousand jealous lovers gathered to admire.
I start spinning. Usually my right hand will come up like this, and I'll lose function of it, and then it will start shaking back and forth, and the rest of my body will start just flailing back and forth. And then I feel like I'm going really fast, and then I see aliens, and then my mind will disappear.
The terrible righteous vengeance of Athena's finest maid.
As the symptoms progressed and I realized what a terrible way to die it was, I was like, about that, yeah, let's do that surgery. I think that's a good idea now because I want this to stop. This is hell.
Before the surgery, I was like such a positive person that I couldn't imagine anything too negative happening. And so I'm, you know, being prepped. I even had like prepped my own hair and made it into kind of like a green mohawk, a really cheesy green mohawk, you know? Then I was like, well, if they're going to do this, like I don't want them to shave my head. I kind of want to like leave some kind of mark of my own like individuality. So this is my attitude, even going into it, getting on the table. I'm naked. I'm in there. It's cold. All of the nurses are being really, like, kind. If I were in touch with my actual instincts and my kind of animal self, and if I were being real, I would have been flipping out, you know? But I somehow, I guess with my imagination, looked for something really positive and tried to focus on that. Then they bolt my head into this like vise, and they warned me that was gonna happen, you know, but I could hear it crack when they did it. They made an incision across the side of my head and pulled the skin back, and then they're like, hey, we're gonna put you down for a minute, and you know, you'll be back pretty soon. So I kind of like disappear or fall asleep, but as I fall asleep, I see the Dalai Lama, and he's moving in and out of this like blackness, and like he's just like, I kind of turned my eyes and my head up, and I saw my brain up on this projector, and it started to make me a little dizzy and concerned. And the nurse was like, He's not supposed to see that. And I was like, is that my brain? Around this time, they clip the sac that is around your brain. And that hurts. It's like they pull it up. It's a fluid sac. And they cut it. And it goes pop. And it burns, like, all the way through around here. And there's no way to use, like, a local anesthetic on that, I guess. That hurt. They were, like, cutting into it because my tumor was pretty deep. So they were taking out tissue and trying to find the tumor. And at the same time, before they would cut out a piece of tissue, they had, like, it wasn't a cattle prod, but it was pretty much a cattle prod. And they would, like, shock it. And then they would be like, okay, do you feel anything here? And they go, psh, and I'd be like, no. And they're like, okay, this is not the part he uses. And they would pick that out. And then they would go, what about this? Psh, oh, nothing. And then they go, okay. And then they would take that out. And they go, what about this? Psh, and then I'd be like, it feels like I'm in a different place. And I don't know. It's just very strange. Go, okay, we'll leave that. Don't really know what that's all about. Then they shock me. And my whole right side goes flying up off the table. And I'm like, whoa. And they're like, okay, we'll leave that. I think that I was really disassociated. And I was starting to get, like, dizzy. And I think the blood loss was also making me dizzy. And the nurse was like, okay, we're losing him. We're losing him. For the first month, I hardly got out of bed. For the first couple of weeks, I didn't get out of bed. I was in a lot of pain, and I was totally tripping out with, I think, all of the swelling and everything else. After the surgery, I was, like, in a faraway place, talking to people that weren't there, you know, completely out of this world. Like, dream. It was like I was dreaming. You could show me something like a pen and be like, what is this? And I know what it is, but I can't, it's not connected to my mouth. And I can't say that it's a pen. I spent a good, like, 6 months kind of getting my walking and talking and things back. For a long time, I wanted, every morning I woke up and I thought I was going to die and I wanted to die. Can I just die? I can't handle this. My body feels like it's on fire. It feels like it's pumped full of electricity. I'm sick. The smell of anything makes me vomit. Really, this is unbearable. If I would have known it was going to be like this, I wouldn't have done it. It's not something people are supposed to, like, experience, and it's something you should be afraid of. But now, looking back on it, it was worth doing because everything is solar. I'm, like I said, I can get downtown. I can cook for myself. I'm, like, dating around, and it's super fucking fun. Like, love is when you look into somebody's eyes and they see your pain or you see their pain. And we react in ways that are like, hold on a second. When I said that, I felt like a shadow come over and it said it hated me. And I feel like it said that because of something I was thinking, they didn't think it was true. And they're hurt by it. And so, I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't know. I'm like hesitant sometimes to, like, assert these things because then the opposite becomes equally true and it creates just, like, pain.
Before Duke's surgery, he worried that he'd lose the ability to create. But after the surgery, he's continued to release music.
Well, you know, I have this picture of me as a tiny baby. Nearly a newborn, probably like a couple years or a couple months old, and I'm holding a guitar, and it's in a way what I was born to do. It is
a vehicle for my imagination. It's a way that I heal myself. It's also a way I hurt myself. It's, it's everything, you know? It's everything.
Went into remission 17 months after surgeons removed his brain tumor. But he'll likely have to do another round of chemotherapy at some point in the future. For the time being, he continues to heal and make music. He's currently living in Bloomington, Indiana, and shares a bedroom with a whole bunch of plants and 7 guitars. All the music you heard on this episode was by Sir Deja Doug, a.k.a. Eric Alexander. You heard songs from 3 of his albums. Bad Dharma, which is the one he recorded while he was homeless and hitchhiking. Love Coffin, his masterpiece, which he worked on before he got his surgery. And the song that you're listening to right now is actually from his most recent EP, The Return of Sir Deja Doug. We'll have links to all of his music on our website, hbmpodcast.com. Also on our website, we have pictures of Doug before and after the surgery, including a photo of him with his green mohawk. When I swallow up your soul, pull it to the toe, knock back you, lock that out, dead moon. Colleen Leahy and Christopher Mawson produced this episode. They're both independent radio producers working in Washington, D.C. and San Francisco, respectively. This episode was edited by me, Bethany Denton, with help from Jeff Emtman. Our editor at KCRW is Nick White. Here Be Monsters is part of the Independent Producer Project from KCRW. Thanks for listening. We'll have more episodes soon.
So what'd that feel like to finally get the band back together, you know, and like get out there again?
Good. Really good. I couldn't hang out at the shows like before or after the shows, but I could get up there and I would perform. And it was just like it was before. Despite the pain and the threat of seizures, it was like something overcame me, like I was possessed and there was no fear. And I just lost myself.